superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
I'm not mysterious. I understand that. That's one of the things I'm not.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, my word.
The Rich Eisen Show.
We better wake our tails up. Every player better wake up and start understanding where we're at.
I just don't know if the Bears fans are going to be like, okay.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, 16-year NFL veteran Ron Jaworski. Coming up, ESPN NFL analyst Mina Kimes. Browns running back Nick Chubb. Plus, actor David Boreanaz. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show. Nick Chubb of the Cleveland Browns coming up 1 hour right from now. Make sure all you Browns fans are right here. All you Georgia Bulldog fans are right here. Nick Chubb of the 8-3 Cleveland Browns. I did not stutter.
Still feels weird to hear you say that.
I did not stutter. Our final guest of the day will be very heavy on the Eagles talk, just like we just had with Ron Jaworski. The star of SEAL Team on CBS, David Boreanaz, will join us. The 2-hour premiere of their latest season coming up. He directs 1 hour. I think it's the 1 hour where he sends the SEAL team in to rescue Jalen Hurts. I think that's going to be the way I'm going to welcome him into the show. I don't know if he'll appreciate it. You know, David can, David's got a good sense of humor, but I don't know about it. He's got a sense of humor.
I can't imagine he was happy watching that last night.
Oh, God. Give it to him, Rich. Last time he was here, he talked some trash right off the bat about the Cowboys to me, so give it back to
me. You know what? You deserve it. I'll be honest.
Oh, come on.
Not to go all Stephen A. on you.
You're looking up at them in the standings.
That's fine. They're looking down at us when it comes to championships.
The NFC East, the most NFC East 2020 NFC East thing is occurring, and that's part of my four downs that's coming up. How's that for a tease? But we turn to the phone lines right now. Has our next guest ever been on this show, Chris? I don't know.
She has not.
Okay. I've enjoyed her work. She's excellent at everything. Writing, her tweets are great. Her analysis is great. She's done some preseason games in a booth here for the Los Angeles Rams. But I don't know if our next guest is aware. You put her name in Google, and then the first word that pops up right after her name is millionaire. Mina Kimes from the Worldwide Leader in Sports from ESPN joining us here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Mina?
I'm relieved that it's that and no longer height or weight or husband. So,
is that right? I did not know. Honestly, I wanted to make sure I had everything correct about your ability to make money for charity. And it pops up Mina Kimes millionaire. And I thought to myself, is ESPN paying better these days? That's amazing. You know, but this has been a great few days, Mina, to see your face, and your name associated with something so great. Because you were David Chang's phone-a-friend, and I want to start with that before we get into the ball talk here. How long do you know David, the history here?
It's been about a few years. I've actually been friends with Alan Yang, who is his in-person friend. I don't know what the designation for that is, but he was helping him early on.
Okay.
Who is a television show writer and creator. He created Master of None. So we've been friends forever, and I've met David through him and sort of the Asian Illuminati, which is a real thing. We're trying to get Kyler Murray into the Asian. He's Korean, and the Koreans proudly claim him, but he's not really Asian Illuminati yet.
Okay.
But Rams safety Taylor Rapp's in there. But yeah, David's in there, and I've known him for a really long time as a result of that.
Hines Ward has got to be a Hall of Fame member of that Illuminati, correct?
OG, yeah, definitely.
Okay, so I'm fascinated by this stuff because I might love game shows more than I love sports. So, and cash and prizes, and obviously great moments like this one. So, do you have to be on hold when you're a phone a friend, or on a landline, or something like? What is required of a phone a friend for millionaire?
You just get a window of time, and they tell you to be ready. And so much time had elapsed that I figured David had gotten knocked off the show. I'm not there, I'm not watching. So I was honestly relieved, Rick.
Right.
I was like, thank God. My worst fear was that it would be a sports question and I would get it wrong, right, validating, you know, millions of men in my Twitter mentions forever. But I'm sitting there waiting. Time goes by. All right, I'm going to have lunch. And then, boom, phone rings, Jimmy Kimmel, game time.
So it's not even someone from the control room saying Jimmy's coming on. It really was phone rings and, hey, no, it's Jimmy Kimmel? Really?
It's surreal. It's the real thing. It's Jimmy Kimmel. I thought I was being punked.
Okay, then let's walk through this here. So then the question's about the first president in the history of the White House to have electricity in the White House, even though he and his wife refused to touch a light switch for fear of being electrocuted. That was your question, right?
Yes.
How did you get this right?
That's it.
Mina?
Yeah, what do we got? So I didn't know off the top of my head. I just went by timeline because I knew Edison, the electric light, was, you know, late 1800s.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So, like end of the century. So I ruled out Grant and Johnson. I really had it down to two.
Okay.
So I was not at all confident in Harrison, but I knew Harrison was president at the end of the century.
So you, to use the millionaire parlance, you winnowed a phone-a-friend down to a 50-50, and you just took
exactly
your shot. And by the way, you got that 100%. Under, you got that under like 2 seconds to spare. You almost didn't get Harrison's name out, which would have been just the worst phone a friend ever, to be honest with you.
I know. It kind of kept going, Rich. I would have said it's probably Harrison, but I'm only 50% sure. But literally, the phone, it stopped right after I said the word Harrison.
So when did you learn that you did get it correct?
Well, I hung up, then I went over to my computer and looked it up, and then I was relieved. I didn't know David had took it, but I knew I wasn't, you know, the worst friend in the history of friends.
That is so cool, Mina. I mean, and then of course, the $1 million going to an amazing cause, you know, helping people in David's industry and people who are in need. That's so cool. That's got to rank up there for you, Mina. That's great.
I mean, David's terrific. He's done a ton of work for the restaurant industry, which, you know, has been hit so hard amidst the COVID crisis. And, it was just to see how happy he was being able to help that many people was really validating.
Yeah, at Southern Smoke TX on Twitter to check out the terrific cause that David is fronting and that you helped make a ton of money. So congratulations on all that. And I love your mom chiming in. Who's got a better Twitter game, you or your mother, Mina?
It's very upsetting, honestly. It's kind of like first I thought it was kind of like a Marcus Vick scenario where I was like, all right, we don't really need like my mom in the spotlight this much, but she's very wholesome and pure. She doesn't have a mean bone in her body.
Right.
So naturally, she's a perfect fit for Twitter, right?
Right.
It's only wholesome tweets about Tottenham, the soccer club, and retweets of me. That's the entire thing.
I love it. I think we didn't waste money on your tuition. That's a very good response right there from your mom, the Marcus Vick of Twitter. I don't know if that's going to ever happen, but that's funny. Mina Kimes here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, I give you the floor on the Seahawks here, who is a team that's after your own heart right here. Who are the Seahawks 2020? Walk me through what you think now.
That's a great question. Well, I don't think we learned much last night, unfortunately, because of the competition. I think that the Seahawks in 2020 have a great offense that has the ceiling to be one of the best in the NFL, just below the Chiefs probably, and a defense that has somewhat improved but is still below average. They've looked better over the last three games. Fortunately for Seahawks fans, the schedule is very easy for the next few weeks, but I continue to think we're not going to learn a lot about this pass defense. The run defense is very good, but it doesn't really matter these days, right? The pass defense has struggled, obviously, all season. Guys have been out. Guys have been hurt. Guys are coming back. Obviously, the Dunlap trade was nice, but that's going to be the key to whether this team can actually contend. Can they just get an average defense, an average pass rush without blitzing Jamal Adams? And I believe that answer is not going to come to us until late December.
I guess, but Adams is so amazing at blitzing that he gets home quite a bit. But I understand what you're saying, that you can't depend on him getting home. Certainly if he does leave a hole where a quarterback, perhaps more artful than Wentz, can exploit it. You know, and Dunlap is definitely a game changer. Wagner, Bobby Wagner, I mean, that play, I know he Wentz underthrew Goddard last night, but Wentz, thrown to Goddard, but Bobby Wagner going stride for stride with Goddard was amazing. And you know, with Carson coming back, that definitely helps. But where do you think the let Russ cook epiphany came from this offense that normally would not allow any cooking whatsoever? Where do you think the epiphany arrived, Mina?
Internet bullying, Rich, the way everything happens. So, I think it's a mixture of things, right? Because I think something that Wilson, from what I hear, has kind of been advocating for a little bit more control of the offense, a little bit more risk-taking early on. And, you know, Brian Schottenheimer, he's in his third year there. I think they're kind of figuring things out. He's really underrated as a play caller. The Seahawks offense is very creative and has a lot of really great concepts. I think there was some frustration, especially in 2018. The wild card game against the Cowboys come to mind, where they keep running into a brick wall, and it was justified. There's now, I think, a question of, okay, where, and this is something all teams face, on the early down pass rate thing, you know, how far is too far? Because for a while there, when Carson was out, it felt like Wilson, part of the reason he was struggling is because teams were blitzing the bejesus out of him. And there is, I think, some functionality to having a run game to neutralize some of that. So they've been trying to figure it out and sort of find that balance. But to me, I think it has certainly unlocked the offense, especially in first half this year. And it's something I hope they sustain, even as they, you know, Chris Carson's a fantastic running back, even as they work to integrate him more into the plan.
Mina Kimes here on the Rich Eisen Show. You can catch Mina on NFL Live at 4 Eastern on ESPN daily. And your work as a writer is phenomenal too, Mina. Who's your favorite interview that you got? You deep dived and you got into that deep dive and you're like, I really dig this individual and I can't wait to write about this individual. Who is that for you?
You know, I just heard Aaron Rodgers a few years ago that I was pretty proud of, mostly because he just kind of hadn't done, he was kind of private a little bit until then, and I really enjoyed getting to know him. But I actually think the real answer, Rich, if I'm being honest, is that my first cover story at ESPN in 2015 was on Darrelle Revis, which I just loved because he was an absolute weirdo in the best way, total introvert. I went into it thinking, okay, I'm going to write about how savvy this guy is about money. He's such a mercenary. He's famous for, you know, beating the NFL. But really what I found was just like a total loner who didn't really care what anyone thought of him. And honestly, was just a lovely guy. So I really liked him, and I really liked that piece.
Well, I think he does care what people say about him. I mean, he and Richard Sherman have had quite a bit going back and forth since then.
They've been chopping it up. That's
interesting.
Right.
A loner, you found him. And then Aaron Rodgers, you found him as who when you interviewed him?
You know, I think a guy who has had a real evolution over the last 10 years or so in the way he, and this is from him to me, just kind of like the way he was seeing the world, outside of football. His interests had changed a lot as years have gone by. He's a very thoughtful person, and really just like, he kind of reminded me of someone I would just know,
right?
Which is, I know it sounds so silly, but, yeah, you know, as you get older, covering the NFL, they stay the same age and the, you know, fast times kind of quote. But Aaron Rodgers is actually my peer, so I enjoyed that as well.
Well, tell me about it.
We're both in our mid-30s.
Tell me about it. Your colleague Dan Orlovsky came on yesterday, told me he enjoyed watching me growing up, is what he said. In terms of Aaron Rodgers, he came on this show a couple months ago. And I asked him about the narrative about him having a chip on his shoulder because of the drafting, the way his team drafted.
Yeah.
And he said it was the exact opposite, that he is at peace with everything, that he's been working on himself. And then he came on just last week and I asked him what, you know, how somebody like him watches a Rams-Bucks Monday night game. He said he didn't watch it at all because he had to get to sleep, and he's reading a book about dreams that he's really into. And we literally spent 2 minutes talking about the concept of interpreting dreams. I've never had a conversation like that with an NFL quarterback. That's for sure. You know?
Oh, that's great. Well, I've enjoyed watching him in that offense this year.
It's been amazing.
It's amazing, and it's honestly, it's a version of him in playing within the structure of that sort of offense that we've never seen before. So it's just really fun.
So before I let you go, where do you rank everybody in the NFC? Because, you know, we're still waiting on week 12 to wrap up with, you know, two from the AFC North. The NFC is all wrapped up through a dozen weeks. Crystal ball it for me. Mina.
Oh, my goodness. The NFC is a disaster. I mean, it's not a disaster. It's wide open, right? Because the AFC, it's really, I feel it's the Chiefs, Steelers, and everyone else. It's complicated by the fact I'm doing the thing where I hedge instead of answering your question. It's complicated by the fact that the Saints are the best team, but they don't have a quarterback right now, right? Now, if Drew Brees comes back healthy, I think they're the best team, period. But that's a big question mark. I don't think we know what it'll even look like when he comes back. And, of course, he's tailed off at the end of the season in recent years. But I do think they're the best team. So I will say that with the major caveat that we don't know what the situation is at quarterback. And I will put – I'll go full homer. I'll put Seattle behind there because I think they're improving and getting healthy at the right time.
They're the two seed right now, too. And, you know, and I hear you with the Chiefs and the Steelers, and part of me leans in that direction because we haven't seen them yet. The football scheduling gods saw fit not to have them on the same regular season schedule. So that's lurking out there for as in an unknown, a rare unknown for a playoff matchup. But I keep thinking that we're all sleeping on the Titans again, that Derrick Henry – yes, because Derrick Henry is running – like the Derrick Henry of January of 2020, right? Now here we are in December of 2020, and we're seeing the same thing. And A.J. Brown is now more significant than he was in the January run. I think they're better. Now, defensively, we may have an issue, but
I
think we're sleeping. We might be sleeping on the Titans again, Mina.
Well, they're a fun team to watch. They're a throwback, that's for sure. I enjoy watching them a lot.
And Henry's been just incredible lately as well. So, you know, I just figured I'd give you a call to talk about that. And also, you know, like I said, I've enjoyed your work and having you on this show. And I got to be honest with you. Part of the reason why I had you on is I thought that by some off chance, every time somebody calls you, they get $1 million. And that hasn't happened in the last 16 minutes. Chris, did we get an email? Did Kimmel call us or anything like
that?
Yeah,
I haven't really seen anything.
All right.
Yet.
Well, so I guess you're not just a human slot machine like that, basically. No,
My phone would be blowing up if that was the case.
Mina, congrats on being part of a fun, huge, viral television moment like that, and everything going on with you at ESPN. Let's chat down the line.
Anytime. Take care.
You got it. That's Mina Kimes. Follow her on Twitter. I do. Her Twitter game is phenomenal. At Mina Kimes on Twitter. There's an underscore in the Instagram, I believe. There you go. So you're just. I honestly thought just knowing. Television. We've given Adam our call screener instructions when somebody calls in on a cell phone, ask them if they're on a landline. I honestly thought millionaires like, okay,
right.
We're on the line with Mina, Jimmy, you know, give us 30 seconds and we'll get to her. Just setting it up, like, are you there? You're there. Just communication. That's the way things go on game day morning. Is like, hey, before I, like, for instance, whenever I speak to Kay Adams on Sunday mornings, she's about to join us commercial break. We make sure the communication between me and her is set. So we're ready to go. So we don't have any problems once we're on the air.
Absolutely.
But it's like phone rings and Jimmy's like, hey, Mina, it's Jimmy Kimmel. You're on.
Like, oh, hi.
Wow.
Just a window.
Then you got to go.
A window and then be standing.
Then you got to go. And she's like, okay. I mean, that's very...
What if you're in the bathroom or something?
That's to know, okay, I know the presidents. I know when electricity was created.
Right.
And I know these presidents were not of the era of the creation of electricity.
Right.
I think these two were around the creation of electricity. I'll go with Benjamin Harrison. To do that in 30 seconds time, very Shap-like. It's very Jeremy Shap-like.
Shapian?
It's Shapian. Shaquille O'Neal.
I wonder if Mina knows all the...
I'm sure.
The British royals.
No, that's only Jeremy Shapp.
Off the top of
He is the only one who knows the succession of British royals from beginning to end. And also, you know what Jeremy also knows? Every vice president in the history of the United States in order.
That's weird.
And you know what Jeremy also used to do? I don't know if he does anymore. He used to alphabetize his money in his wallet. Based on the letter associated with the mint where the dollar was printed.
That is weird.
Okay. What?
I don't have my wallet on me. I don't know if, you know, we're all dealing in the world of,
no
you know, apps anyway, right? But it used to be, and I don't know if they still do it right now, the mint where the dollar is printed.
Mm-hmm.
There's many of them across the United States, a handful of them, and they're associated with a letter in the same way that a group of letters is associated with an airport, for instance.
Yeah.
Okay. So he would look at the letter that's on the dollar or the $5 or the $10, and he would, you got one there, Jason? What do you got there?
This one doesn't have a letter on it.
Okay. Maybe this used to be. And I would see, like, so his wallet would have a 1, 10, a 5, a 1, a 20, and I'm like, what are you doing? And it looked like it was in order. He alphabetized it.
Wow.
We all looked at him and we're like, my God, there's no, honestly, they have broken the mold with Jeremy Schaap. He would absolutely, you see it right there? You got one?
Yeah, so I got one. This is a 2001 $1 bill. It's from the bank, the Federal Reserve in Atlanta.
Yeah, and what letter is associated with
it? The letter is F.
There you go.
Yeah.
So is it only on ones?
I don't know. Or it's, they might have stopped doing it. I have no idea. That's a 2001 bill, and this is from way back in the day.
Or a fake.
No, I actually do have an old 20.
Yeah.
His is A from Boston, Massachusetts, 1985.
I'm telling you. So that would be alphabetized in Jeremy Schaap's wallet in that way.
That's really
and he probably has no idea that I'm doing this right. Why would he? Jeremy Schaap would 1,000,000% be my phone a friend. Him or my brother, Jeff, would be my phone a friend.
Schaap is a good one. Schaap is a good one.
Where absolutely, I need you in a pinch to tell me the most arcane, infinitesimal piece of trivia or knowledge.
The only problem is, Jeremy's long-winded, so the 30 seconds might run out before he gets to the answer. Well, Rich, let me tell you about a story.
This is not a last word, Jeremy. I got 30 seconds. Spit it out.
By the way, Benjamin Harrison's vice president. Anybody?
Oh, God, please.
Levi Morton.
Jeremy would know that.
Who you calling, Brockman?
Well, now that Jeremy...
I got to text him to see if he'll join us at the end of this hour.
I might call Rich, to be honest.
Me? I wouldn't have gotten that. I would not have nailed the final answer right there.
I knew that, actually.
You did?
I didn't know that.
Okay.
So by the way, same way Mina did, kind of process of elimination.
Okay.
Yeah. Just looking at that. I
would be your phone a friend.
I saw like person. You're one of the smartest people I know.
Okay. I'll take that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Interesting.
Still upset you didn't think of me about the pizza, but that's okay. I appreciate it.
$1,000,000 for charity.
Do I have to call Schaap now and talk to him?
We might have to do it right now. Why not?
All right, let's take a break. We'll come. By the way, I got four downs. I'm upgrading a take to a fourth down hot take.
Oh,
yep. Just when you think your team might be involved in the Trevor Lawrence race, it's true. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. All right, we're back here on our Peacock app stream. And guess what, people? Saved by the Bell is back, a Peacock original. Should I read the copy that was provided me, Chris?
Yeah, absolutely.
Get so excited. The new original series Saved by the Bell is coming to Peacock. Yes. It's already streaming right now. Bayside is back with new students, new stories, and some very familiar faces. Start streaming on Peacock right now.
That's based on a famous Elizabeth Berkley scene.
I don't get so excited.
Yeah.
I know what that is.
Okay. I don't know. I don't know sometimes.
I mean... I've been saved by the bell.
All right. Just checking.
You know what I'm saying? You do know what I'm saying.
I do know what you're saying.
Thank you. All right. We're back here on the show. I didn't expect it to be a very awkward moment. Saved by the Bell promo read. Right 844-204-RICH is the number dial. We'll take your calls in a matter of seconds right here on the Rich Eisen Show as we're here on our Peacock stream, NBC Sports on Peacock, back here on our radio stream as well. Chad in Cincinnati. It's been a while since we talked to him. What's going on in your mind, sir?
Hey, Rich. Two things, buddy.
Yes, sir.
The woman who talked about the bills and she said that she would rather be blown out, I agree 100% because if you've watched my stinking Cardinals the last 5 weeks, coming down to the last minute every game, it's not good for the heart. Give me a blowout.
I don't know. You'd rather be in it to win it. You got to be in it to win it, man. I mean, give you a blowout like you're hoping to have a big victory that your team can actually go someplace and you get blown out. So not only do you have no shot to win it, you think that you're not even as good as you thought. I'd rather I totally disagree. I would rather have my heart ripped out.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like with her, when she watched Kyler Murray rip that heart out, that just is not good. And then I'm watching the Patriots game and the Seattle game. It really hurts.
Let me just bring this up. Chad, you live in Cincinnati, right? You live in the state of the great state of Ohio, correct? So you've had a front row seat to say, what do we call it? The big game, Michigan, Ohio State for the last several years, right? You've seen them. You've had a front row seat, correct?
Yep.
Okay. Let me just speak from personal experience here. I've had my heart ripped out on a fourth down play that shouldn't have ever happened because the Michigan Wolverines had Curtis Samuel dead to rights on third and long, and he somehow escaped and got it right down to the line again, just shy of it for that fourth and short. Mm-hmm. And then I will go to my grave that JT Barrett did not get that first down. I literally will go to my grave. I would rather give up the natural than give up on on believing that that was not a first down.
Great.
Okay. The reason why I bring that up is just I'm talking about things that I am convinced of 1,000%. But at least Michigan was in it. And I have seen them get, 50 burgers, 60 burgers since then. Me turning the game off in the first quarter because I just can't handle it and not wanting to look at my phone blowing up of all my friends saying, what gives, and all the Ohio State friends that I have giving it to me. I would much rather be in it, Chad, every single day of the week and then deal with the anger and the angst and use it maybe for content, Honestly, I'd rather do that. 1,000,000%.
But that leads to my second question, Rich. What would you rather have? Would you rather have the Jets get Trevor Lawrence?
Right.
Or Michigan this year?
Yes.
All of a sudden get COVID so that Ohio State cannot play in the national championship?
I will. Chad. Chad. I will never use COVID as anything other than a warning for everyone to stay safe and healthy, and thank you for the call. I'll take Trevor as a Jet.
Yeah, that's the right answer.
That's an interesting question.
That's the right answer.
Did he really suggest using COVID as a weapon in a sporting rivalry? Stop using COVID as a weapon?
Steely Dan?
I will not entertain that idea.
Steely Dan.
Chad had me at hello, and then I had to say goodbye. Because I do appreciate it's a time-honored concept of would you rather get blown out or you'd rather get blown out, huh?
I'd rather get blown out.
Dude, so let's just say your favorite team. Just name a favorite team. Go
sure.
for it.
Red Sox.
Okay, Red Sox. Your Red Sox, it's game 7, which is what you have to do because it's not like football where it's a win or go home. So it's win or go home. Win or go home, and you're thinking this is it. Tonight I might be able to celebrate in a manner that's so great. Amazing. You'd rather know by just
I'd rather
inning?
Whoever put up a 9 spot in the first, that's a wrap. Then I can shut it off.
So let's not use
then
baseball then.
Then I don't have to spend 4 hours, because the Red Sox can't play a normal game, 4 or 5 hours, then just to have Aaron friggin' Boone hit a walk-off in extra innings.
We watch sports for the competition. We watch sports to be on the edge of our seats. I understand that you're emotionally invested, but you'd rather actually have the event take place in a manner that you are competitive and have a shot to win than not. Then you're just snap it off at the end of the first inning. You're snap it off at the end of the first quarter of either a basketball game or a football game or the first period of a hockey game or halftime of a college basketball game. Come on now. I mean,
but in terms of how it affects you.
Yeah, but it stinks and it lingers and it's an awful feeling, but I would rather be in it. You've got a shot to win it.
Yeah, but knowing the outcome, knowing you're going to lose, like this isn't, I think we're going to win. This is knowing the outcome.
But again, Kathy from Philadelphia called before. She's a Bills fan, and she referred to that they're returning to the scene of the crime, as she referred to the Hail Mary, because the Bills are at the 49ers, who have to play in Arizona for the next couple of weeks because of the Santa Clara County ruling that that no contact sports can take place, practice or otherwise, to December 21st. And I should say that the owner man who runs the ownership group of the San Francisco 49ers. Jed York's going to join us as our first guest, our second guest on Thursday's show. He'll join us.
Fantastic.
But she talked, I mean, the exhilaration that she had when Josh Allen was leading the team down the field for a game-time field goal and said, screw it, I'm going for Stephon Diggs' touchdown. I mean, that's amazing.
But they lost.
I know they lost, but at least she was in it watching the game for 3.5 hours as opposed to snapping it off and not even being in it.
Yeah, but knowing the result, knowing that you're going to lose, you want to get blown out.
But you don't really know
But you
that.
Don't know the result.
Yes, but the question was knowing the result.
Knowing the result.
You'd rather get blown out. You
well, knowing that I'm
going to
be gutted on the floor?
Yeah.
Life saving me all that?
Life is hard enough, man. I'd like Brockman. Put me out of my misery.
Put me out of my
early.
Misery. No
I can still, I'll
way.
Still sit and watch it.
It's embarrassing. I'm not going
to. I didn't turn that Cowboys-Washington football game Don off Bowie, on Thursday.
Don Bowie, our resident Saints fan, who has watched, as you know, the Minnesota Miracle followed by the pass interference that wasn't followed by Kirk Cousins and a walk-off win. Those are the last three ends of the season. I'm sorry, Don, to recount everything, but I'm setting the stage for you saying in my ear that you'd rather be blown out. I'm not that guy. I'm sorry. I have watched one crossing route after another from the Ohio State put up a 40, 15 to 60 burger. It is an embarrassment I don't want to deal with ever again.
So you'd rather
I'm
lose
sorry.
On the last
I would
second?
Rather lose the way that we lost in the overtime. Yes. Oh. I would rather lose that way.
Man.
We were in it.
Yeah, but the thing is, when you get blown out, at least you know, right? There's no doubt in your mind. Oh. You can't go back and say, right. Well, in the second quarter, if we would have ran this play.
But we weren't even in it.
But you know that you weren't the best team that day. When
but
it comes
does Minnesota have bragging rights over the Saints?
I mean, they won the game.
Excuse me. They won the game, but and I know it's not the same rivalry. But does a Los Angeles Rams fan have the ability to go up to the Saints and say, we beat you in that game? Minnesota twice, okay? Against the Saints. They've beaten them twice with a miracle, and then Kirk Cousins one and dunning them in a playoff game in their house, in the Superdome. Does a Minnesota fan have every right to go up to a Saints fan and say, we're much better than you? Of course not. Does an Ohio State fan have every right to say we dropped a 50 and a 60 burger on me? I don't want to hear that from them. No way. Yeah, I'd rather look back at them and have a whole bunch of games where we were in it with them. We put the scare in them, or we almost won it, if not for Big Ten refs on the take.
Well, that's
smiling.
That's
smiling take. Because they're from the state of Ohio, patting Mike Weber in the ass, as one official did. Look it up.
Yeah, but so what? I mean, come on.
I'd rather have that take that you can accuse me of having a tinfoil hat on my head than getting my ass blown out. 60 burger, 50 burger,
yeah, like
Liz Whale of our Rich Eisen staff, who I adore 99.9% of the time until she comes and calls in and says, Thanksgiving weekend is usually the week where we kick your ass. We can't do it this week, Rich. Too bad. And they put up a board on the show.
But you're just not as good. You're just not as good. So, like, yeah. You just have to live with that. Whereas, like TJ said, if you get your heart ripped out, you're like, oh, if we had just converted that third down.
No
if we had just made that
way.
Pass. If we had just stopped
when
them
you
on
get
defense.
Mud stomped and you know
yeah,
it was
over.
Not your day. You were not as good as that team.
Yeah, but are you guys so fragile?
So fragile?
Yeah.
You're the fragile one.
How am I fragile?
Bro, you're breaking down right now.
Yeah. Because you're going through all these what ifs. With our scenario, there is no what if.
No, but
you got beat.
Because you don't want to deal with the heartbreak. You're
Look,
saving
I
yourself
think,
the emotional.
Life is hard enough,
it's
man.
All about,
I go to sports all, for like a release. Life is hard enough. I don't need my heart broken
this is what
by 53 guys wearing a star in their helmet.
This is what it's about. This is what we're having a conversation about. It's about emotions and how we can control them or how we can are affected by them. Mm. That's what it is. I would rather have the heartbreak, the emotion heartbreak, and deal with that. Than the emotional distress of getting blown out and having somebody throw it in my face for 364 more days.
Yeah, but those
I would
people...
much rather deal with the having loved and lost than never having loved at all. I would rather take that approach to life and sports.
If you get blown out or not, they're still going to talk trash on you, regardless. So,
but well, no, that's not regardless. How many Rams fans could talk trash to the Saints after that NFC Championship game? 0.0. They could easily have said what I said here, which is, hey, Saints, you had a chance to win in overtime. It didn't. Game only went to overtime. You still had a chance to win it. Hey, there was a face mask penalty on Jared Goff in the red zone that didn't get called, and we settled for a field goal. Had that penalty been called as opposed to the one that didn't get – we also had an on-call, Rams fans could say. If that face mask penalty was called, we would have had first and goal. Gurley would have scored from there, even with Gurley mysteriously on a warm-up bike more than he was in a helmet in that game. I mean, that's the conversation they could have had. They couldn't have had, we beat your ass. No way. Even to this day, a Rams fan couldn't look at a Saints fan and say that.
The problem is you're thinking rationally, right? You're thinking like a rational human being. Social media is the exact opposite.
You just accused me of being over-emotional 2 minutes ago.
You can be both. You can be both.
I mean, that's why we're fans. That's short for fanatic.
If the Rams had won the Super Bowl, that would be one thing. But, you know, yeah, but we know what happened.
I know that. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. We also know what happened the last few games against Ohio State with Michigan, right?
Yeah, not close.
I would rather have four more results of the game that Wilton Spate almost won than the last four results that we've had.
But you're still
any
lost.
Day of the week. We still lost. But we're competitive. We're in it. We're in it.
But then, like, that just goes back to what
we're saying.
At least
we put a damn scare in him. I mean, put a scare in him as opposed to just, like, letting Ryan Day draw up whatever he wants for Urban Meyer and go. Just keep going. Right. Just keep going. Right. You know, it was like, hey, it was like Oprah giving away cars. You want a slant route? You want a crossing route? You want a touchdown? You want a touchdown?
What if we take Ohio State out of the equation?
You're talking about a rivalry game.
And what if you make it Michigan State?
Completely different. Completely different.
I'm talking about a game in which you're the most emotionally invested in, which is... to me, a rivalry game here. I mean,
well, we're talking about like the Super Bowl.
Well, unfortunately for you, you don't have a rival for the last 20 years. You're like the Tiger Woods in the NFL. Honestly, I'm seriously.
No, sure.
Yankees, Red Sox. Come on, brother. Come on now.
Yeah.
Come on now.
I'd much rather get absolutely destroyed like you'd they did in game three of the 04 than have 03 game seven.
But that's game three. I'm talking
Dude,
about
it's all the
line.
Same. It's all the same.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. We come back, my four downs as planned, and we'll take more of your phone calls right now.
Luis Gonzalez on line one.
I would rather have that than game seven wind up 10-0.
You're crazy.
Excuse me. Remember game two of that World Series? Remember game two of that World Series?
I don't.
Look up game two of that World Series right now.
Guys, let me just tell you.
Hold on a second. Game two of that World Series right now. Look it up.
Let's see.
Was that 0-1?
Game 2 of the 2001 World Series.
4-0.
Then what was game 1?
Game 1 was 9-1.
There you go. I knew one of the first two was a total blowout.
And game 6, 15-2.
Much rather lose game 7 the way the Yankees lost it than 15-2, where it's one big 4-hour-long coronation for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Period. End of story. That's the way I look at life. Fact. You'd rather lose 15-2 because you could be out of your misery early
you could have shut off game one after the fourth. It's 9-0, 9-1. It's over.
But you're not going to, as a fan, you're probably not even going to shut it off. You're going to keep watching, but you're going to watch it differently, right? You're going to be like,
hate watching?
You're going to hate watch.
Yeah. Oh, man.
I do know this for an undisputable fact, and that is Dez caught it. And I'm going to stick with that.
Would you rather have been blown out in that game? Rather,
yes.
Where Aaron Rodgers put up a 40 burger before halftime.
Yes, and here's why. Because 8 years later, I wouldn't have to be still sitting here arguing whether Dez Bryant caught a ball or not.
Like, exactly, and you definitely are.
And I'd rather argue about it than have never had a shot in that game at all. Never. Mm. Come on. You're in playoff games to have a shot to win it. Even though you get gutted, you at least had a shot.
Well, you had a shot when you showed up.
844-204-RICH, number to dial. Take your calls. This is a lively chat.
Love it.
Four downs coming up. Hey, everybody. If you're a business owner, you don't need us to tell you that running a business is tough, certainly these days. But you might be making it harder on yourself than necessary. How about that? Don't let QuickBooks and spreadsheets slow you down anymore. It is time for you to upgrade to NetSuite. Stop paying for multiple systems that don't give you the information you need when you need it. Ditch the spreadsheets and all the old software you've outgrown. Now is the time to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle, the world's number one cloud business system. NetSuite gives you visibility and control over your financials, HR, inventory, e-commerce, and more. Everything you need all in one place instantaneously. Join over 22,000 companies using NetSuite right now. So let NetSuite show you how they'll benefit your business with a free product tour at netsuite.com/rich. Schedule your free product tour right now at netsuite.com/rich. netsuite.com/rich. Ravens Steelers, Wednesday afternoon on NBC. Schefter tweeting out that NBC told the NFL that we're not going to have the game Wednesday night because 30 Rock tree lighting show is not to be preempted.
Like Santiago, not to be touched.
Well, I'll tell you this. The reason why that would be is a twofold here. One is the scheduling is you can't flip it. You can't light a tree in the afternoon. Okay.
Right.
It does get done.
Even if NBC's like, yeah, you know what? Let's go with the game. Okay. You can't light it. You can't flip it and light a tree in the afternoon. That's number one. Number two, did you see, we're back here on our radio network, we're talking about why NBC, according to Adam Schefter, told the NFL that we're going to have our tree lighting ceremony, 30 Rock, as scripted, as scheduled, Wednesday night. And that's why the Ravens Steelers starting in the middle of the afternoon, Eastern time. Did you see that the Washington football team v. Dallas Cowboys game was the highest rated game of the year?
Of course it was.
Because it's a Thanksgiving audience, and you have casual sports fans interested, and you have non-fans captive. That's why you have a third Thanksgiving game, because it's the biggest window possible. And there are people in this country, I will say this, even though it puts a roof over my head, the National Football League, there might be more people interested in this country about the tree lighting than there are about a football game. It's kind of that simple.
Couldn't they have done the tree lighting at halftime?
I don't think you just want to truncate it. You know, it's a whole hoo-ha.
I mean, they are just turning the on switch.
I know that, but I think it's kind of like, well, I mean, you know, let's be honest. It's kind of like the LeBron decision show. They could have basically come on the air and say, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. See you later. But there's build-up. There's a whole build-up. They don't just hand the Heisman out in the first 60 seconds of the show. You know, there's a whole big to-do.
We need 58 minutes of Jim Gray.
Right. The same way that we need 58 minutes of Al Roker.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want 58 minutes of Al Roker? One of our favorite people we met at the Big Slick, Kansas City.
He's the best.
He looked like he was having
a charity event. Oh, my gosh. But this is up there with
a Cowboys game?
This is not the first time that you would think, how in the world are we preempting an NFL event for this? Do you remember a few years ago when the NFL had to have the draft in Radio City Music Hall on Mother's Day in the middle of May? You remember that?
I do.
Reason why is because Radio City Music Hall told the NFL, can't have your normal dates. We're having an Easter extravaganza. Who's the human being who told the National Football League that, Chris? Who's in charge of Radio City Music Hall? Do it for me. Say it for me.
James Dolan.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Attaboy. And who got pissed about having to move it to Mother's Day? The entire National Football
League.
Everybody
was mad.
Who decided to basically say, maybe we don't have it at Radio City Music Hall anymore? The National Football League. So every single time you see an NFL draft in places outside, all over the country, Nashville, Philadelphia, Chicago, Dallas, soon to come Vegas, Cleveland. Who do you think? Jimmy Dolan. Worst owner in sports.
Jimmy Dolan.
But he actually did something good for the NFL.
He did, when it all came down to it.
Yeah. I mean, didn't mean to.
Yeah.
Still.
Not on purpose.
Still, to use the phrase I heard growing up, still, and you heard it in Goodfellas, still a schmuck on wheels. Schmuck on wheels. I just said
What am I, a schmuck on wheels?
All right, let's get to four downs here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's do four downs with Rich, please. Let's do it right here.
Four downs with Rich.
Here we go.
Why did you stop?
Okay, here's every single Tuesday, even though we still have a game to go. Here's my post Week 12 takes on the National Football League, starting with First Down here on the Rich Eisen Show. If you could give me some NFL Films music, please, Jason, that would be wonderful. That would be great. NFL draft news right now. The most NFC East 2020, most NFC East 2020 thing, if you will, may be the current draft order for the 2021 NFL draft in the NFC East right now. I know I said the most NFC East thing ever could be Colt McCoy taking the Giants to win the division over Washington football team and the Dallas Cowboys. That would be the most NFC East thing ever. But right now, the leader in the clubhouse, take a look at the draft order in the NFC East for the 2021 draft as we're through 12 weeks of the 2020 National Football League season. You take a look at it right now, and you see at the top of that draft order, your 3-8 Dallas Cowboys, top five. That you don't normally see. Then you see the sixth overall draft choice is owned by the 3-7-1 Philadelphia Eagles. Then you've got the eighth overall spot owned by Washington football team at 4-7. And then same record because they're leading the division and thus would have to be considered a wild card loser, all the way down at 19. The New York Giants, very rare. Whew. Do you see such a split with the same 4-7 record in the draft order? 4-7 Washington, 8th overall. 4-7 Giants, 19th overall. Yikes. Makes you want to tank just for the draft position.
Yeah. Why win the division?
That's the most 2020 NFC East thing I've seen in all of 2020. That's funny. Right now. All right, let's go to second down now here.
Second down.
And let's talk about the 2021 NFL draft at the top. Now, we had Todd McShay on this show, right, Chris?
We did.
Oh, yeah.
Way back.
Way back. On what was the date?
I think it was September 18th.
September 18th. Jets had just lost week one. I was irrational. I was totally irrational. I brought it up with Todd McShay on that day. What if the Jets tank for Trevor? Roll it. If the Jets have a chance at Trevor Lawrence, do you turn Sam Darnold into the Josh Rosen of this equation? You don't. You don't really do that.
No. 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 I don't. Listen, they're not going to be picking number one. I really don't believe that's the case. But in your hypothetical, if they're picking at number one, I think you sit there and you get one of the biggest deals that has ever been brokered for a number one overall pick in the history of the NFL draft. I would argue probably the biggest for Trevor Lawrence. So you're going to wind up with so many ones. You're going to wind up with at least two ones, multiple twos, and probably two or three other picks. And you can name your price because there are going to be three or four organizations that are bidding against each other to go up and get what I think is a generational talent in Trevor Lawrence coming out of Clemson.
So now that was a very rational response back then, right? Yes. Back on September 18th, that was a rational response. I was being the Jet fan.
Hey, right.
Irrational.
Of course.
But I was also Nostradamus, Nostrajetstus, because I knew this was possible. Week one! But now it's after week 12. It's appropriate to look at the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes right now. Very appropriate. And let's just say, Todd McShay's take is still right, that the Jets could get a king's ransom, or whoever is at the top of the list could get a king's ransom. Let's take a look at the top five draft choices right now. Remarkably, the Jets are still winless. The Jaguars, after that week one when I was talking to Todd McShay, they had come off their still-to-date only win of the season. Gardner Minshew beating somehow, someway the Colts. They've lost 10 in a row since then. The Bengals are 2-8-1. We mentioned how the Cowboys are sitting right there, right? And the Chargers 3-8, and Eagles at 3-7-1, right? Okay. So you tell me, which one of those teams would get the king's ransom? The Bengals, the Cowboys, the Chargers, and presumably the Eagles would trade away that pick right now for the king's ransom. Jets and Jaguars sure would not. And who's going to catch either one of those two teams right now? Maybe the Bengals? Is it possible that the Bengals finish 2-13-1 and the Jets finish 3-13, win three of their remaining games, and Jacksonville wins two of their remaining games? Nuh-uh. The Cowboys win against the Minnesota Vikings, actually took them out of the running right here. Yeah. It's a Jets-Jacksonville race, people, and there is no King's Ransom. Nuh-uh. And if there is somebody who does want to pay the king's ransom, they're going to have to come from so far down. They're going to have to trade with one of those teams that's currently 3, 4, 5, and 6 to get that close to maybe trade up. I don't even think it'll be a king's ransom. It's going to have to be the biggest haul ever to try and get the Jets or Jaguars off of this pick. And Jets, I'm telling you, you've come this far. Finish the job.
What about Washington? What about one of those 4-7 teams?
But 4-7, you still have to be as bad as the Jets. Jets going to finish 4-1.
No, I mean to trade up and give up the
ransom. It's possible, but you're coming from far down.
Washington, Detroit,
6-7,
Atlanta.
That's far down. To go up to 1 for the ultimate one? Maybe in the history of ones?
Like McShay said, it might take 6 or 7 picks.
Oh, boy. Third down right here on the Third Show. Down. We hit this with Mina Kimes moments ago, and I'll just hit this briefly here because not much really needs to be said right here. NFC so wide open. Literally, you tell me who can't beat who here. You tell me who can't beat who here. The Giants maybe, you know, can't beat everybody here.
I don't think the Bears can really beat anybody.
Vikings, but a Cardinals could beat anybody. Bucks, you heard Jaws say, you know, they're going to get it together. Rams, 1 week, next week. Saints can beat anybody. Seahawks can beat anybody. Packers could beat anybody.
Giants and Bears, not real.
That's about it.
Yeah, that's about it.
Anyone could truly beat anyone in the NFC right now, including the team that's currently sniffing it in my fourth down.
Oh, because that was last week's hot take that you said the 49ers not dead yet.
I said the 49ers not dead yet in my fourth down last week, and I'm about to upgrade it.
So we're doubling down on last
week, even though they are going to be away from home in Arizona, home away from home. We saw what they did, and I understand. I understand they're next to opponents at the home away from home in Arizona, in Buffalo, and then Washington are currently division leaders or tied for division lead right now. It's not the Jets and the Giants. They already went to West Virginia and stayed away from home and had an excellent week bonding, getting it together, getting healthy. I saw what they looked like last week. I see what this coach is dialing up. Robert Saleh is going to be gone. We all know that. And he's going to be dialing it up. I mean, he's got job interviews every single week. The 49ers will make the playoffs. They will be at least a 7th seed. That's my fourth down hot take.
Oh, that is.
I am all in.
We're fired.
I know it's hot. That's why I'm clutching the hot take plank. I'm upgrading instead of like they're not dead yet. I'm saying I'm calling my shot.
In.
That thing is smoking right now.
I count them out. Count them out. Oh, they're away from home. This is exactly when teams like that are like, it's us against the world. You know,
you say that knowing Jimmy G's not playing, right?
I know.
Okay.
Nick Mullins just beat the Rams. Nick Mullins did something Tom Brady couldn't do. I'm serious. That just happened. Tom Brady, how many wins against the Rams do you have this year? 0. How about Nick Mullins?
1.
Jimmy G, 1.
Wow.
And the 49ers have that tie break if they could catch the Rams. Yeah. I'm saying that's my fourth down.
I mean, I respect a good double down more than anyone.
I know you do. I know you do.
You got a 6-4 with a 4 showing.
No, I know that. I get it. I know. And, you know, we've got a great third hour coming up.
All right.
Nick Chubb of the 8-3 Cleveland Browns. 8-3. Overlook them at your peril. One of the top rushers in all the land. Georgia Bulldog, Nick Chubb, just for you and Sarah. I'd throw that in there. David Boreanaz will be joining us. David Boreanaz of SEAL Team on CBS. Big Eagles fan. And you know who's going to join us?
Did you get a hold of him?
I got a hold of him.
Attaboy.
We will phone the one guy that I'm saying would be my phone a friend and who wants to be a millionaire.
Pretty good one.
Jeremy Schapp.
Should we come up with super obscure trivia
no
questions for him?
No question we are going to. We should do it in a little bit of his wheelhouse.
Can you ask him to take a quick picture of his wallet right now?
No, not going to do that. I did text him. Like, I may have mentioned that you used to alphabetize your money in your wallet by the letter associated by the mint that printed the dollar. I've not looked at my phone yet for his response to that. But anything Olympics, Royals, vice presidents, go for it. Come up with it, Chris. Because I think we're blowing off your news update today, unless there's anything else going on. 844-204-RICH as well. We've had a hot conversation this hour as well. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We're going
to
take your calls.
All right, so I literally just Googled obscure Who Wants to Be a Millionaire questions.
Well, I mean, I guess that's – we should just give him a break. I mean, we're calling him up. Give him something vice presidents. Give him something Olympics. And give him something royals.
All right.
And U.S. Mint.
Okay. All right, so VPs.
What you should do is – what we should Olympics. Do is get the alphabetics and the by Mint. We could put the answer up on the screen because he won't see it, and ask him Atlanta, Boston, whatever, alphabetize these by Mint, and he'll know that off the top of his head. I guarantee you. Or basically say which Mint alphabetically is closest to the first letter of the last name of the 14th Vice President of the United States. He'll get that right.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
All right. So the 14th.
That
Vice
will
President.
he will get that right. In 10 seconds. Gosh. That's why he's my phone friend.
The 14th vice president. No clue. John C. Breckinridge.
Okay. So B is Breckinridge. And then what mint is the letter B?
I'm trying to find that now.
U.S. mint letter.
This mint matches the first letter of the last name of the 14th vice president of the United States. Who are both? He'll get that right. Nick Chubb's going to join us next. He has been phenomenal since coming off of campus in Georgia.
Hello, everyone. This is Eagles Hall of Fame quarterback Ron Jaworski, and I am so excited to bring you the hottest new podcast for the NFL and gaming. Welcome to Jaws Picks, featuring me, Ron Jaworski, and some of the most famous names in sports, music, and entertainment, as I give you my expert analysis and predictions of each and every NFL game. So far this season, my predictions are over 55% correct
against the spread.
That's a pretty good number, folks. And over 67% picking winners straight up. You do not want to miss out on this podcast. Every week, I will tell you who, how, and why each NFL game will be decided. Take the guesswork and stress out of gaming and subscribe to Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. That's Jaws Picks wherever you get your podcast. Stay safe, take care, and let's make some beer money.